Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 78, being recorded on the 20th of May, 2015, with special guest Stuart Ozer. My name is Sujit Mello, and on Skype with me, I have Kale Teeter and our special guest. Stuart, could you please introduce yourself for our listeners?
Oh, hi. Happy to be here. My name is Stuart Ozer, and I'm a group program manager inside the Azure DB organization. My team is responsible for building some of the new scaled-out database capabilities that we've been previewing up to last month and are now in general availability, and we're continuing to make some significant investments there moving forward.
Great, and thank you very much for taking the time to join. I know you weren't feeling too well last week, and I'm glad to hear you're sounding a little better this week. Now, this is the new Elastic SQL Azure Database. Is that, what's the official like name for it? I always get confused with putting those
words
together.
That's a great question. We actually have a large family of capabilities that we're referring to as the Elastic Database Suite. And we can think of it as a large number of features, a growing set of features, that's really designed for customers that are building large-scale software as a service applications that need to utilize a large number of databases, either because those companies or businesses have lots of end customers that need their own databases on their own. So when you're building a cloud business, for example, providing accounting software or travel reservation systems or any kind of software as a service, you may find it advantageous to create a separate database for each of your end customers. And we actually have a number of customers in Azure today that have tens of thousands, 50,000 or more databases because they have so many customers of their service. We've heard over time the needs from these businesses to have a cost-effective mechanism to deploy large numbers of databases and tools to help manage a large family of databases, whether it's, you know, rolling out schema, objects, changes in stored procedures to hundreds or even thousands of databases at a time, or being able to create an efficient application layer that knows which database to communicate with when a particular transaction needs to be done. So we're solving both the economic problems, the management problems, and the application development problems associated with scaling out across a large family of databases to get your work done.
Wow, that's a lot more than I expected, for sure.
Yeah.
So not only is it the size of the database, but you can also scale out to a number of databases.
It's all about scaling out across a number of databases. Traditionally, if you're building an on-premise database infrastructure, it's been very, very easy to scale up. You just get larger and larger hardware. You pack more into a single monolithic database. But, you know, in the cloud, you're operating on commodity infrastructure. Really, the most cost-effective and efficient way to scale, and it provides you with, in a way, unlimited scalability, is to scale out. People are used to doing this with their web tier already. It's always been a harder problem in the database tier, and we're working on tackling that head on. So just to give you a brief overview of what's in this family, for the economic model, making it easy to acquire and manage large numbers of databases, we introduced what we call the Elastic Database Pools. And the idea of a pool is that instead of purchasing individual databases with their own capacity and throughput limits, you purchase a a large collection of capacity, basically, however much throughput you expect to need in aggregate. And then you can assign dozens or hundreds of databases to that pool. And the databases will take and use what they need when they need it. So if one of your end customers or one of your regions is spiking at a moment and needs extra capacity, extra throughput, it just uses it in the pool. And later when another database is active and this first database may be less active, the pool can basically, each database can expand and contract its utilization as needed over time. So you don't have to micromanage how much resources you've allocated to each database.
And that's a good point. How do you measure this throughput? I mean, what is the unit of the throughput?
Well, in Azure database, we've introduced the notion of the database transaction unit, DTU. And when you purchase an Azure SQL database or a pool of databases, you specify the number of throughput units you're interested in purchasing. And you can think of it as a measure of transactions per second or transactions per minute. We've documented what the transaction measure represents. And you can basically measure your own workload against sample databases at various DTU levels. And then when you've done your capacity planning, you decide, all right, it looks like my workload at peak requires maybe 1,000 database transaction units. We price our database services per transaction unit in the basic, standard, and premium tiers. And it makes it easy to manage and allocate resources across individual or a family of databases in a pool. So,
what's an example of a transaction unit? I mean, you know, is it just like a select clause? Or
yeah, imagine doing some number of thousands of selects per minute, depending on what your table shape is, how complex the query is. A set of 100 DTUs or 1,000 DTUs will be capable of producing a query throughput. Again, you have to match it to your workload. It's similar to buying a server with a particular CPU capacity, and you need to go through a sizing effort if you were purchasing a server on premises. But we offer a wide range of DTU capacities in our cloud offering, and you can match your sample or test workload against the throughput you can receive against these different DTU measures and decide, you know, what's the right size to purchase for my needs.
Yeah, I had a question about that, Stuart. It's Kale. Especially on the metrics side, so how would you go about measuring that? Let's say we did benchmark our current workload and we figure out we're in this range. This is what DTUs we have approximately. Mm-hmm. And so we pick a scale there, a level that we're going to pick there, and we deploy that. How do we like go about managing that to say, hey, do I need to jump up to another SKU or another level?
Yeah, that's a great
Is that
question.
All through the portal? Or yeah.
Yeah. So there's actually information in the portal that gives you a graphical view of how many DTUs you're using at a moment in time, and it tracks that through a historical chart. We also have a management view that's queryable. It's basically a SQL Server view that's maintained on a 5-minute time basis. So you can go back over the last week or two of activity in the database and see in every 5-minute period what percentage of my DTU allocation was I consuming. We also have, we're developing some workload advising features, basically wizards in the portal that'll help you understand whether you need to consider purchasing more DTUs based on your historical workload pattern. We'd like this to become more automated and based on a recommendation system over time. But in the meantime, you can also query these views that are present inside the server itself, inside the database.
Yeah, and in the portal itself, like like the other metrics that we have in Azure, is it possible to like set up alerts to say if I get to this certain threshold?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's cool. Yeah, and the other question I had is like onboarding or starting to use this system. Do I need any special tools, or is this something I can just go directly into the portal, provision?
You can go directly into the portal and create a pool if you're working with a large number of databases, or you can always create individual databases. Now, I talked initially about these Elastic database pools as an economic model, a purchasing model for dealing with large numbers of databases. But we've also developed a set of development tools, basically extensions to the ADO.NET API that lets you work at the application tier in a really smart and efficient way when you have to work with a large number of databases. So for example, if say you've got a fairly large database infrastructure and you've spread it out across 15 or 20 individual databases, whether they're in a pool or not, you need to know how to direct a particular transaction to the right database. And you can go through some complicated work in your application tier, keeping a list of all the databases and understanding which range of transactions have to go where. But we've made that a lot simpler. Basically, we've created a mapping layer that when you're writing your application, you're writing your query requests, you basically open up a connection, not to an explicit database, but you open up a connection referencing this mapping layer, and it returns an open connection for you to use that's pointing to the right database for that transaction. So you don't have to worry about incorporating mapping and query routing logic in an application that has to reach out to large numbers of databases. We've also created a set of APIs, again, for .NET applications, to issue queries that can go against a large family of databases and produce a single unified merged result set. So, for example, you know, you have customers spread over 20 databases and you want to do a count across all your customers, or you want to get some telemetry back about the behavior of all your customers. Instead of issuing 20 separate queries against 20 separate databases, you issue one query and the infrastructure that we've built in our client libraries goes out and fetches a unified result set. So we call this set of tools the Elastic Database Client Library, or just Elastic Database Tools, and it provides a pretty rich family of capabilities for developers who need to work with large numbers of databases.
That's fantastic. That's really nice. That's a good idea, by the way, adding that extension to ADO.NET. Now, I know, Stuart, you mentioned that this was targeted to people who work with large numbers of databases, but if you have smaller numbers, maybe you have 5 or 10 databases, is it still a good economic model to choose this particular option, or would you choose some of the other SQL Azure options out there?
That's a great question. You know, most people that are starting software as a service business, working in the cloud, they might not have 1,000 databases day one, but everyone aspires to be successful and to grow to that level. So the idea is that, at least from the perspective of using these tools for scaling out, the client library extensions and routing capabilities that we've provided, that's appropriate even for people that are starting with one database but expect to need to scale out over time, moving from 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 40, and 40 to 400. So there's really no limit in terms of making use of these client APIs, there's no lower limit. And we have a lot of customers that are starting small and expect to grow over time, and this is giving them a natural way to scale. In terms of the database pools, we find it's mostly cost effective once you've already got something between 10 and 30 databases in your collection. That need to use different levels of resources at different times just because it's bursty traffic. So I think the economic model for actually using the pools does depend on the number of databases you've got, and the sweet spot, the beginning of the sweet spot is around 30, but your results will vary, and you want to do some workload testing to to take a look at the number of transaction units you really need at peak and on average. And there's some great documentation on this in the Elastic Database Tools reference topics in Azure.com. Whether you're using that economic model or not, though, the tooling to make it efficient and effective for you to scale out is useful even if you're working with one or two databases to get started.
Yeah, I had a question, too, about the, I guess it's the pool that you call it. So in that model, is it essentially, could you say that the sharding piece of it with databases is actually being happened in the platform in Azure as opposed to you having to manage it? Is that what the model is?
It's interesting. We're launching a feature in preview next month that'll allow the platform to do even more transparent work, reaching out behind the scenes to collect information from multiple databases. But what we're doing initially with this client library is we've created a database mapping model and a set of .NET APIs that they don't live inside the service. They're a layer on top of just ordinary Azure DB databases that you work with and manage through your application tier. But it's just a big simplification from having to write all of that code, the mapping code, the data-dependent routing code, the fan-out querying code yourself. Instead, we've embedded that in the library. We still consider it part of the Azure platform, but it's really not code that's running in Azure DB itself. Now, that said, over time, we're building new capabilities into the Azure DB platform to make that multi-database experience even more transparent. So there'll be a lot of features rolling out over the months ahead that continue to expand that capability.
And then, Stuart, a question about the manageability of these. You mentioned like up to tens of thousands of databases. Is there some sort of tagging mechanism for these databases to allow administrators to locate them, find them, search them, et cetera?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, one of the things you can imagine needing to do when you have thousands of databases is, for example, updating permissions when you have new users or users that you have to maintain, or adding a column to a table for a table that appears in every one of a 1,000 or 10,000 databases, or tuning indexes. So what we've created is a tool that's integrated with the Elastic Database Pools feature that we call Database Jobs. And it allows you to declare basically a SQL command or a T-SQL script that you want to run across all of your databases in a collection. And you invoke it once, and the infrastructure behind the scenes makes sure that those commands are run on all the databases of interest. And initially, we've launched this month, it exercises its operations across all databases that are in a pool, but we're right now working on that sort of tagging, collection tagging mechanism to add more capabilities to that, allow you to work on filtered sets, or even sets of databases that you define yourself. That we call Great. The Elastic Database Jobs feature, and it really addresses that management problem once you have large numbers of databases to work with.
Excellent. You guys are really, as you can see, you guys are really thought of everything, which is great. nice job. I think that covers, that's a good, nice overview on this new service that's being released out there. Kale, you have any more questions for Stuart?
No, this has been good, Stuart. Thank you so much
great.
For this
Pleasure.
Info. It's been enlightening.
I encourage you to take a look at the Elastic Database pages that we've got in Azure.com. There are some really great 5-minute getting started tutorials and examples of the full range of capabilities that I've talked about today. And there's no better way than to get hands-on and try it yourself. So
I agree with that.
We should
look with Stuart. Thank you again very much for joining, and appreciate your time. We'll hope to have you again on another show.
Look forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at @AzurePodcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.